And good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to Wiggum Baptist Church this morning. Just a few announcements and then we'll open up with a word of prayer. As you can see, today, fifth Sunday, we'll have the Lord's Supper during the morning worship service this morning. Please stay with us as we have our monthly fellowship meal after the service. Looking forward to that, and if you can, please stay in this fellowship with us on that. Tonight, at our 6 p.m. service, please remember we'll have it in the original church tonight, so please remember that. September is State Missions Month. Our goal is $1,000. They are envelopes in the pews. You can use those, or just if you write a check or something, just designate it, make it out to Wiggum Baptist Church, but designate it a State Missions, and it'll go to State Missions. This coming Saturday, September 6th, from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. is the clothes giveaway. Your items can be brought to the church from last week up through September 3rd. On September the 4th, that's Thursday, we'll have the church open from 1 to 8 p.m. You can bring your items in. If you can spend a few minutes, you can maybe help put some of the items out or sort through them or whatever. So keep that in mind. Snacks for Cairo High School needed by September the 7th. That's next Sunday, I believe. Next Sunday, September the 7th at 9 o'clock is our monthly breakfast, so please mark your calendar for that. And then Wednesday, September 10th at 6:30 p.m. is our fellowship meal and church conference. Thursday, September 18th, 7 o'clock is Standing in the Gap men's meeting. Men and boys, remember that. And if you can help restock the food pantry, there's a list of items on the poster board as you enter the sanctuary. It's on the wall there. Just help us. It's that time again. We need to restock our food pantry. And as I've always said many times, we don't advertise it. We don't give you a number and things like that. But quite a few people will use that food pantry to help, you know, with food and all. So we can use your help in that. Any other announcements? We had 29 in Sunday school this morning. Any birthdays? Okay. No Labor Day babies. No. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord, and we are thankful for the opportunity to gather here and worship our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, today, Lord. And we thank you for, as we've gone through our announcements and all this morning, Lord, and I know September is going to be a busy month, Lord, but Lord, let us just realize, Lord, that these activities, things that we have planned, Lord, for September, Lord, are to bring glory and honor on you, Lord. The clothes giveaway, the snacks for Cairo High School, the restocking the food pantry. All of these are ministries of our church, Lord, and we just pray for those and the other ministries, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that we will continue to look for you, look for guidance, Lord, and how to reach this community, and not only with these physical things and food and other things and clothes, Lord, but to reach this community for Christ and be willing to share Christ with people, Lord, if they do not know him, Lord. Lord, I do just want to lift up Brother Tim today as he proclaims your word today, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that we have come to celebrate our Lord Jesus Christ and to worship him, Lord. And as we move through the service towards our Lord's Supper, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that as we know on the table in front of us, Lord, we say we do this in remembrance of you. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay.
Well, if you can this morning, please stand as we start with Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you.
And my night was turned.
praise for all of us to sing about the goodness of God this morning. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 10, seems like some of the chapters in Hebrews it takes forever to get out of, but that's okay. We will eventually get through them. As we look this morning, though, we will find some words that are repeated over and over again in Hebrews chapter 11. And as several months ago, maybe a year ago now, we looked at how to study the Bible on Wednesday nights. And one of the things that we said that we should do as we're reading the Word of God is to look for word repetition or repetition of phrases in Scripture. And as we even studied our Sunday school lesson this morning for the adults, we saw that same phrase, where are you? You know, that the psalmist was writing, you know, why is my heart so downcast? And so as we look through Scripture, as we're reading it, and we see the word, a word, that is repeated over and over again, we need to take notice of it. As we looked last week in the adult Sunday school lesson, we saw phrases that were repeated over and over again, or words from last week's view. But the writer of that lesson said that any time a word is used at least three times, it is superlative. Did anybody remember reading that last week for the adult? Come on, it was there. You go back, look. But the point is this, is it's superlative, and I know we're thinking, what in the world is superlative? Well, it means it is of utmost importance. You know, I think about it this way. There used to be a bumper sticker that said, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Can I tell you there's a part in there that's wrong? If God said it, it settles it. It doesn't matter whether I believe it, I should believe it, but God doesn't need me to believe his word. It is true, it is right, it is faithful each and every time. But as we come into our verses for today, we're going to find the word faith. And it's mentioned over and over and over again, okay? The word faith is used in chapter 11 24 times. So if it's used 24 times, what would you say about the importance of faith? It is of utmost importance. In the book of Hebrews, the word faith is used 32 times, and the New Testament is used 243 times. Faith cannot be ignored. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, you cannot be saved. And so as we look at the verses that we're going to read this morning, we realize that faith is important. You can't be saved apart from faith. And if you are saved, you can't live apart from faith. Now, what is faith? Webster's dictionary says faith is allegiance to duty or to a person. It's fidelity to one's promises, sincerity of intentions. In other words, it is to have the right motives and means. It is a belief and trust in and loyalty to God. It is a firm belief in something for which there is no proof. It is also mentioned that faith is complete trust. Faith is complete trust. In Hebrews chapter 10, I want to begin reading in verse 38 because I want to go back and set the tone for what's happening in chapter 11 this morning. Now, chapter 10, verse 38 says, now the just shall live by what? The just shall live by faith. You have to be saved by faith, and if you're saved by faith, what are you supposed to be doing? Living by faith. You see, there's a, and I know this might rub some people off, that's okay. There's a movement out there that's the easy believism, and it's, you know, just say this prayer, just come down, just be baptized, just get your name on the church roll, and forever you're okay. When you look at verse 38, what does that tell us? The just shall live by faith. Now let me ask you a question. Don't answer out loud. This is between you and God. How many of us live by God with our paychecks? By faith of God. How many of us live by faith in every decision that we make? How many of us, when it comes to Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, really put our faith in God? How about every day when we get up? Do we really live by faith? Do we have intentions of living by faith throughout the day, or are we just saying, oh, I'm just going to wing it today? One thing I've noticed in my life, if I get up not thinking about God, I'm probably going to go to bed without thinking about Him. Okay? If I'm not willing to put Him first thing in the morning, He's probably not going to be first place throughout my whole day. So I need to realize that the just, you say here again, who are the just? Well, we looked at that last Sunday. The just are those who are justified by faith. We put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone, His work on the cross, His blood sacrifice, His body sacrifice, His resurrection from the dead. My faith is in Him and what He has done for me to have salvation. Not by works I've done. It's not by my righteousness. It's His. And so my faith has to be in Him and on Him. Here again, Ephesians 2:8 tells us, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It is through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. If I have to earn grace, it's not grace. You see, grace is a gift. It is a gift of God because you don't deserve it. You can't earn it, right? Grace is unmerited favor of God. God decided to love us, to give us His Son, Jesus Christ, and it comes to us simply by faith. Not by what I've done, not by how good I am, but simply through faith. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, we can go back to that for just a moment. It says, now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, now remember, as we're reading this, the Bible is the inspired written word of God. And what does that mean? That means that God spoke it and man wrote it. Okay, inspired means that God breathed. God breathed it, man wrote it down, and so you can see the characteristics of the individual writers throughout the Bible. So, but listen to what it said, because God is saying, this is God speaking to His writer that wrote the book of Hebrews. He said, now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. You see, there is a faith that will not save you. And I'm going to explain that, okay? Don't get upset yet. There's a faith that cannot save you. And you say, what do you mean? Well, if my faith is only in myself and what I've done, well, preacher one day, you know, the preacher was up there preaching, and I kind of got a feeling, and so I got it, and I went down, and I said some words with a preacher, but I didn't know what I was saying, I didn't know what for, and he had me kneel down, and I just copied some words he said, but it's never affected the way I live. Can that faith save him? You see, it says, if anyone draws back. Here's the reality, and as we've been going through the book of Hebrews over and over again, I've talked about these people. They've heard the gospel. They know the gospel. They believe in God. They believe God spoke the world into existence, as we'll see in just a few minutes. that they believe all that kind of stuff, but they don't believe in Jesus as their only means of salvation. They believe because they can trace their lineage back to Abraham that they're good. They got their ticket punched and they're in. But some people, maybe even here today, you've walked out, you've said a prayer, you've been dumped in the water, you took a bath, that's all. You got your name on the church roll, but there's never been any change in your life. You're not living for Jesus. You're not walking for Jesus. You're not doing anything for him. Oh, yeah, you show up every now and then. Got my brandy points. Give me another room in my mansion. Like you're doing God a favor. David couldn't wait to get into the house of God. We should be the same way. We should be longing to worship and praise him for who he is and what he has done. 38 is the faith that won't save you, because that person draws back. You see, there was a lot of followers of Jesus, about 120 at one time. And when Jesus said, listen, you're going to have to drink my blood, and not literally drink his blood. Eat of his flesh, which he's talking about his body. That means to take in all of him, not just part of him. But when those people were called to make that decision to take Jesus full, wide open by faith, what do they say? Can't handle that. I can be identified with the believers. I like seeing the miracles. I like seeing the show. They like entertainment, right? But when they were called to make a decision that was going to affect the rest of their lives, what did they say? Can't go along with this. You see, those are the ones who hear the gospel. They hear the message. But then they draw back. But the writer here in Hebrews, he's saying, listen, but we're not of those, right? Because he's hoping by faith that they're going to believe by faith in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. And he says, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition. What is perdition? I think I might have mentioned this last week or week before last. Perdition means eternal damnation. It means to be separated from God all through all eternity. Revelation would call this the second death. We are not of those who draw back to perdition. He's encouraging these hearers, these ones who are identified with the church, with everything that happened with them, the persecutions, the sufferings. They've been identified with believers, but they weren't. They hadn't placed their faith fully in Jesus Christ alone. And he said, listen, we're not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. That is what each and every one of us need in our lives. Not to be, some of us only want God, but we want him on, what do you call it? When somebody gets divorced and you have partial custody, is that what it's called? Y'all get me out. Yeah, joint custody sometimes, and sometimes you have weekend visitations, you know what I mean? Some of us, that's all we want of God. We don't want him throughout the week. We just want him on the weekend. That's the only time we worship him, we praise him, we live for him, because we got to get up and get dressed and look the part, walk the part, smell the part, talk the part, right? We only want to be with him part-time. But God wants all of us, and he wants all of us all the time. We are not of those who draw back to perdition, but we are of those who believe to the saving of the soul. We live by faith. We're saved by faith, but we must also live by faith. We must live by faith in the fact that when Jesus asks us to do something, what do? We say, well, I can't do it. He said, well, you know, I'm not smart enough. I'm not a people person. I don't like going here. I don't like going there. Or do we by faith say, okay, God, you called me to it. Now I want to go do it. I'm going to trust you, Lord, that if your word tells me that I can believe in you for my salvation, then your word also tells me that I have been given everything I need to accomplish your will. Right? Isn't there a difference? Oh, because we can. We can say, well, you know, I believe God up to this far. I believe the Bible up to this far, but you know, this verse here I want to take out because it makes me have to change. We don't like change, do we? But y'all like buying new cars. I don't understand it, right? They're never the same. They change and by phone. My goodness, every 6 months there's a new phone. You got to learn how to operate all over again. But here's the point. Faith affects, I said this last week, it's got to get into my ears. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It has to get into my ears and into my mind, and then it works for my mind as my mind processes it and I believe it. It enters into my heart. My heart is the center of everything about me, and so my it relates my head, my thoughts, my heart begin to work it out, and that's where I believe, because confession is made with a mouth, but with a heart one believes unto salvation, right? So the heart, but then it doesn't stop there, does it? As we've said over and over again, it's got to affect my mind, it's got to affect my heart, but ultimately, is that where it ends? Well, God's got my heart. Well, does he have your actions? Does he have your words? Because, as I said before, if I only have Jesus in my head and not in my heart, am I saved? Y'all help me out. If he's in my head but not in my heart, am I saved? If he's in my heart, not in my head, am I saved? If he's in my head, my heart, not my actions, am I saved? We're going to look in just a few minutes, and then tonight, well, probably more tonight. But when you read through the book of Hebrews chapter 11, I call it the hall of faith, the hall of faith, because you'll find every couple of verses is by faith, and then it'll list some actions somebody did. They didn't do those actions to get saved, but because they believed, because they were saved, they then did according to what God told them to do. And we should be the same in our lives. He should affect our minds, our hearts, and our actions. Listen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What does that mean? Well, as we look down through here, we find a couple different things that we could look at, and we could say this. When we look at verse 1, he gives us a discussion about what faith is and what it does. I like this that I got from somebody, not sure who or what or when. But faith is now, okay? Faith affects us now. In the psalm, and I know not everybody was in there this morning, that the psalm we looked at this morning, Psalm 42, we saw that the writer, whether it's David or who, we don't know. I'm assuming it's David. But he's saying in his distress, he calls God his rock. That is his faith right now. But then he says at the end of the verse, at the end of that chapter, that psalm, he says, my hope is in you. My hope is in my Savior and my God. So he's not only saying that his faith is now, but his hope is future. Because isn't that true for us? We believe we're saved today, but what are we looking for as believers? Is this all there is? Are we looking for that day when we meet Jesus face to face? Are we longing for that day when we'll be with him in heaven? Because oftentimes we get stuck in the here and now. And we say we have hope, but sometimes we don't have our, you know, we have the faith, but our hope is not where it should be, because oftentimes we're praying for the here and now instead of looking forward to that time later on. Substance, as it's used here, means to be under. It means to be under. I'll give you two illustrations real quick. Number one, Jesus told a parable about the man who built his house upon the rock, right? And then he goes on and talks about the man who built his house upon the sand. And when the storms of life come and it rains and the wind blows and beats against it, what happened to the house that was on the sand? Went flat, right? We used to do that in children's church. Y'all remember? It went flat. It fell apart because there was no foundation under. But the rock that Jesus was talking about, that the man, wise man built his house upon the rock, that was him, meaning Jesus himself. He is the rock. He is the foundation. When Jesus questioned his disciples about who do men say that he is, well, some of them said, well, you're Moses, you're Elijah, some prophet. And then Jesus pointed the question to them personally, and he said, who do you say that I am? And old Peter, for once in his life, he gets something right, and he says, you are the Christ, the living Son of God. And what did Jesus say? He said, on this rock, right? On this rock, this is the foundation that I build my church. Not on Peter, like the Catholic Church tells you. Amen? He wasn't building it on Peter. He's building on the confession that Jesus is the living Son of God. If we build our life on anything other than him, when trouble comes, when trials come, when circumstances aren't what we want them to be, our faith does what? But for the believer, even when some tragedy comes into our lives, we have that rock, we have that foundation. We don't understand what's going on or why it's going on, but we have a faith that is secure. It's not only under us, because we can build our lives on it, right? It's a firm foundation. But it's also inside of us, each and every one who believe in him. It's good to know that we can build our life on Christ and what he says and his promises. So our faith, as it says here in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance. It is the assurance, as some translations say. It is the reality, or it makes us sure, as even other translations say. It is sure. It makes us sure. You see, on that rock, we can build our lives. We can build our future. We can build our eternity. So our hope, our substance, is something we can cling to, we can build our lives on. But then it also talks about that it's not only the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. How many of y'all have seen your brain? I know you ask a lot. That's a bad thing to be able to survive. The point I'm trying to make is this. You can't see it, but do you believe it's there? Now, some of us, I know we question, right? But the reality is we believe it's there. We've never seen that. It's there. What about the wind? Can you see the wind? No, you can only see the effects of the wind, right? Now, here again, the point is this. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We believe in Jesus. We believe in his resurrection. Did anybody witness it here? We believe it, all right? He rose from the dead. Without that, your faith is in the wrong thing. But we also look that Jesus died. He was buried, rose again on the third day. And then as we look to the future, we realize that Jesus is building his church now. He's still saving people. And one day he's going to come again, amen? That's what we're looking for. He's going to come again, and all those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him, those that have gone before us, to meet them in the air, and then we'll go to live with him forever. That is our hope. That is our future. But in that same thing, we realize that our faith is in what we hear, what we read, what we study in God's Word. It is our foundation that needs to be secured. It needs to be built up. Just like the body of believers is to be, the reason we come together is to edify one another, to build one another up in our faith, and to encourage each other to continue to doing good works. Now, here's the thing. Our substance, our faith, our foundation is Christ. But as I've already mentioned, it is in the Word of God where we find that security. It's in the promises of God that we cling to. We talked about the inspired written Word of God a while ago. I believe that the Bible is the inspired, inerrant, written Word of God. Now, I want to ask this question, and if you don't believe it, you don't have to raise your hand. That's all right. But how many of us believe it to be the inerrant written Word of God? Now, let me ask you another question. How many of us do everything it says? See what I mean? We believe it to be God's Word, and yet how many of us strive daily to live it out? We know what it says, and here again, as I've often said, it's not about knowing everything to do. It's about doing what you do know to do. Because the more you know and strive to do what he wants you to do, the more he's going to reveal to you in your life. If you're willing to look for it, if you're willing to go on with him by faith, we do well to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here again, 11:1, our faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. We'll get more into that verse 3 tonight. But what I want to focus on here again is the confidence that we can have in Jesus Christ. In 1 John chapter 2, I want us to look at these verses for just a minute. 1 John chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. Listen to what the Apostle John, remember, this John is the same John who wrote the Gospel of John, and he also wrote what other book? Revelation, right? Well, he wrote 2nd, 3rd John too, but this is what he said. He said, now little children, and by little he's not being demeaning to anybody. He's meaning little children, brethren, followers of Christ. Now, little children abide in who? And I like the New King James Version, because when it's talking about God, it always capitalizes. You don't have to worry about who the him is referring to. Now, little children, abide in Christ, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know, here's my key point for this morning. If you know that he is righteous, You know that everyone who practices what? Is born of Him. You say, what are you trying to make a point about? Remember Hebrews 10:38, and the just shall live by what? By faith. The just shall live by faith. Our confidence, because in Hebrews 11:1, it talked about now faith is the substance. But it also goes talking about onto the confidence that we have. And here in 1 John, we realize that John is saying, listen, our confidence in Christ is that if we are saved, how should we be living? By the world? Should we talk like the world? Do the things the world does? Live like the world? No, it should change us. And here John's saying the same thing. If you know that He, Jesus Christ, is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. Our lives should point others to Christ. Our lives should be to the point where when somebody sees us, they should say, you're different. Now, I'm not talking about going along with back up here painted purple and, you know, big old whatever. Whatever it is, I'm not talking about it. What I'm talking about is living in a way that's different than them. Living in a way that honors and pleases God. And when we do that, we don't have to be ashamed. Because honestly, there's a question. How would Jesus find you if He came back right now? Would He find you unashamed that you've been in His Word, you've been studying, you're striving to live how He wants you to live? I'm not meaning perfect, because none of us can be perfect, right? If you could be perfect, Jesus would have never had to come down the cross. But we should be striving to live a righteous life. We should practice righteousness, not just so that, hey, look at me, because that's pride, right? And that's a sin. But it is, Lord, forgive me. I messed up again. Lord, help me to do right this time. Lord, help me to have the right heart, the right mind, the right thoughts, the right whatever. That is what it means to live righteously. That's not the only time John says this. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, he says, little children, here again, a term of endearment is not belittling anybody. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as He, meaning Christ, is righteous. He who sins is of who? I didn't say it, right? The Word of God. He who sins, that this is that person who can habitually, continually, never have conviction, never have a change of life, never have a change of thoughts, never have a change of heart, never have a change of action, never have a change of anything. They're still, they've said the prayer, they've walked the aisle, they've been baptized, they're on the church roll, and I'm still living like the devil. He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, why did Jesus come to save us? To leave us where we're at? To leave us where we're at? To leave us doing what we've always done? To living for ourselves? No. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest. And the word manifest means to be made visible, to be seen. He came to show us that He might destroy the works of the devil. Here's what I want us to think about as we close. Faith is the substance. It's our hope. It is our foundation. But our foundation in Christ should change who we are, what we live for, what we do, where we go. All the things that come with living. It should change us from our thoughts to our hearts to our actions. It should change everything about me. But if I've had a faith that has never changed me, it's never convicted me of what I say or what I do or what I think, then I have to ask myself, is my faith real? Is my faith a faith that saves me? Or do I have the faith that leads to separation from God? Am I saved? Are you living righteously? So, Brother Tim, I know I'm saved. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, but I know I haven't been living for the Lord. I have not been living by faith. I have not been living righteously. What do I need to do? Well, I always say it like this. You can pray from your pew, but there's something different about when we come and kneel before the Lord and confess our sins to Him. For those who say, well, I'm not sure, I'm that person who really, I've done all the things I'm supposed to do, but I've never been changed. Maybe you say, Brother Tim, I just need to come talk to you today. Hey, we can do that. We're going to give a time invitation in just a minute before we take of the Lord's Supper, and you say, why is that? Why do you want to do it before? Well, Paul warns us, as we'll read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in just a few minutes, that we're not to take of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. If you're not saved, the altar's open. If there's sin in your life you need to confess, the altar's open. Don't take of it in an unworthy manner. Put God first in your life. Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of invitation, Lord, we know, Lord, that you alone have purchased our salvation through faith, Lord, in believing that you are God's Son, that you have done everything necessary for us to be saved. Lord, our only hope is in you, Lord, and what you have done in the now. Lord, that is our faith. And what you're going to do in the future, Lord, that is our hope. And Lord, as we bring those two together this morning, Lord, we have to ask ourselves, are we saved? Are we walking with you? Are we living by faith? Are we living righteously, Lord, according to your will and according to your word? Lord, and if our lives don't match up, then Lord, we need to come before you. And we either need to give our lives to you and accept your gift of forgiveness, your grace, your salvation, Lord, and we need to confess our sins and to realize, Lord, that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, that's the key, to recognize who we are, Lord, that we need your help. We need your grace, your mercy, your love, your forgiveness. And to realize, Lord, when we come to you with pure heart, pure mind, pure reasoning, Lord, that you accept our lives. Lord, you accept that. Lord, and welcome us into your family. Lord, I pray today for whoever needs to make that decision, Lord, that they would make it without hesitation. And Lord, that they would be willfully obeying, Lord, your word. And Lord, I pray that you would bless this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.